MyBridge Radio, that is 10th Avenue North with Warren. It's so good to have you along with Stan and me this morning. Merrilee Bradley is joining us on the Morning Conversation today. Now, Merrilee is a regular here on the Morning Conversation, and she's joining us today to talk about something that is very dear to her heart, that being foster care. Merrilee, great to have you back with us today.
I wait all year for this conversation.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. I was having a conversation with Gordon before we gave you a call, and I said, I think Merrilee's going to have a little bit of passion behind this one and a few things to say.
So, you think?
Yeah. Okay, so Merrilee, if anyone knows you very well at all, I mean at all, like bump into you in the store once, they know that you are pretty passionate about, you're very passionate about foster care. And really helping hurting kids. But that's where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the way, back at the beginning, God began to whisper in your heart about foster care.
Mm-hmm.
Bring us back to that point.
Well, I'm probably one of the unusual people that feels like I kind of knew this was coming for a really long time. Like when I was little, I knew I had a love for kids and that I was going to probably love more kids than I was going to be able to keep. And so kind of from my earliest childhood, I remember having thoughts about foster kids, about orphanages, about people who needed help and kids that needed families, and how is God going to call me to be part of that?
Well, I mean, you're probably not alone in that, but there's plenty of people who had that early on but didn't go on to do anything with it. So
right.
What made the difference for you? What moved you to the point where it wasn't just a childhood thought or vision, but it's something that as an adult came to fruition?
Right. In our family journey, part of that story involves infertility. That for us, we didn't feel it was going to be possible for us to make as many kids as we wanted to parent and love. And so that really kind of pushed us in the direction of thinking about adoption and foster care as ways that we'd be able to invest in other kids. And we initially did that through group homework and were able to love a whole bunch of kids, but realized we couldn't give them what they needed, which was permanency. And that's still something that we struggle with through foster care because we don't make the permanency decisions, but we have more of an option to say, you can come live with us. We're going to love you just like we birthed you, just like our own. And that's what we love doing through foster care.
We are going to be back to continue our conversation with Merrilee in just a few moments. Right now, here is Casting Crowns East to West. Lay It Down, that is Sanctus Real this morning on MyBridge Radio. Thanks for joining Stan and me on this 10th of September. Our guest on the Morning Conversation today is Merrilee Bradley from Lincoln. Now, Merrilee is a foster mom and an advocate for foster children and families.
So, Merrilee, as we were talking this morning a little bit about your story to start our time, you know, yours is unique and really a make-sense thing, but you interact with a lot of different people. Can you normalize beyond your experience those who would enter into foster care? What are some other types of scenarios that you know of people and how they got into foster care?
Yeah, I think for some people, it's a matter of just having a heart and passion for kids in crisis. And maybe that's because they've seen that happen even within their own family or extended family. Or maybe they grew up in a situation that was not ideal and they want to help other kids in that same kind of situation. And for a lot of people now, I'm so blessed to see that it's just a response to God's call to care for kids that need help, that we're supposed to be loving our neighbors, that we're supposed to be caring for orphans. So this is something that people are saying, you know what? God says we got to do it, so let's do it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Merrilee, because I'm sure that when people heard me ask that question, they were thinking you were going to go into kind of life circumstances to talk about different people's journey into foster care. But you talked about two things that are critical. One is a heart for kids, and two is a calling from God. If you've got a heart for kids and a calling from God, then no matter what your stage of life or your context of life, foster care probably is for you.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of people who may not be sure that their circumstances say it's the right time for them, but their heart and that calling are there. So they're stepping out in obedience. I mean, for us, surely we had four kids and our youngest was not quite two. And we said, let's do it again, you know, and that was the right thing for us to do. We were so blessed with the placement of our foster daughter. But if you just looked at our circumstances, We had a full house. I mean, literally, our house was full. We had to move. But it was more about calling and about ministry than it was about just saying, well, do the circumstances make sense right now?
If God has been putting it in your heart to do something for the foster children in our state, visit mybridgeradio.net and let us know about that. A great first step could be attending one of the Christian Heritage informational meetings coming up the week of September the 22nd. And you can RSVP for those meetings when you visit mybridgeradio.net. Jared Anderson on My Bridge Radio, fill me up. Thanks so much for joining Stan and me on this Wednesday. Marilee Bradley from Lincoln is joining us on the Morning Conversation today. Marilee is a foster mom.
So Marilee, one of the first questions that a person has to ask if they're thinking about foster care is, am I even needed? So are we even needed, Marilee?
Oh, man. I have some interesting information on that, because I was just talking, we partner with Christian Heritage, that's who we do our foster parenting through, and I was asking them, you know, how many kids does Christian Heritage serve right now? And it was about 300 kids so far this year. And I asked them, well, how many kids have you not been able to provide a home for? And it was over 1,000.
Wow.
So just thinking about the number of kids that the state of Nebraska is saying we need a foster family for them, that this Christian agency is not able to provide because we just don't have the homes. Hmm. So there is absolutely a need. And on top of that need, I think there's a gifting that each family has their own little niche of what they're able to provide. So even while you may hear that the need is for teens or older kids or whatever, if you can't do that, there still is a need for people who can do the toddlers, for people who can do the babies. I mean, there's every day kids are coming into care.
Mm-hmm. Now, and there's not like this one-to-one ratio of need to available foster families, right? Because you want the right foster family for the right kid. And so it's not like, well, we have 3,000 kids in need. Let's say, I'm just making up a number here.
Right.
And we have 3,000 foster care homes, so then we're good. Well, no, we're not good, because, you know, it's not a direct match. And you want the right context for each child.
Absolutely. I know we've dealt with that ourselves, that, you know, we've been given a phone call and said, can you take this child? And, you know, it was a premature baby. Well, we're maybe not in a position right now where we could do an oxygen tank, you know, with everything else that we've got going on in our home. So while even some of the specifics might seem right, we can't do that exact situation, but somebody else can. And that's where you have to have a lot more available families than you even have kids.
So, Marilee, talk to us a little bit about the level of control that a family has when they get involved with foster care, because clearly one of the fears would be, man, do I have any say in the child that ends up in my home? That feels kind of scary for me to think of just some child randomly being put in my home, and I don't even know if it's a good fit or not.
Right. I think that is one of the big fears that keeps people from getting involved. You feel like you can't say, this is what our family could do, this is what we can't do. But that is absolutely not the case. And it starts with you guys, you, as a family, setting your own boundaries. And then when your agency gets something that is potentially something you could do, they're going to call you. And then you get to pray about that, you talk about that, and then you say yes or no before that kid ever shows up at your door. Nobody is dropping off somebody that you haven't said, yes, we think we could do this.
If you'd like more information on foster parenting, visit mybridgeradio.net. My Bridge Radio, it's Seventh Time Down with Just Say Jesus. Good morning. Thanks for joining Stan and me on this 10th of September. Today, nearly 3,500 kids are being cared for in foster homes across Nebraska. Now, there is a great need for Christian foster parents to take care of these children, as God has commanded us to care for orphans among us. Our guest today, Marilee, is a foster mom in Lincoln and is joining us to share insights from her experience.
Marilee, as you have conversations with different people about foster care, we've talked about, do I have to take any child? We've kind of talked about that fear already. Mm-hmm. What's a couple other fears that people tend to have to get over before they step into foster care?
I think for a lot of people, they're concerned about the impact that foster care is going to have on the children already in their home. They're concerned that these kids are going to be a negative influence, or they're concerned that their kids are going to be really devastated by having a child come in and leave. And those are really legitimate concerns. And I think primarily we're the stewards of the kids that God has given us, so we need to consider their needs and their feelings in this. But I think you do have a lot of say about what kind of kids show up. So if you want to keep kids younger than the youngest child in your home, which is what we've chosen to do, that's an option. And I would say for our family, we've just seen the beauty of our kids investing in foster care alongside us. I think about we are totally at max capacity at this point. And my oldest son, Josh, who's 7, heard us talking about a baby boy that was needing a family, and we couldn't do it. I was talking about it with regarding friends of ours, and Josh says, well, why can't we take him? You know, he needs a home. Why wouldn't we give him a home? And I see that there's just this beauty for them in that understanding that kids need homes. Why wouldn't we offer that to them? And as we've worked through even some of the termination and relinquishment process with the kids we've adopted, our oldest son was saying, you know, it's happy for us, but it's sad for their mom and dad. And I think they are getting it. They are getting the loss involved in this, and they're processing it, and they're seeing it in the light of eternity, which what more would we want for our kids?
If God is prompting you to do something for foster children in the state, log on to mybridgeradio.net to let us know and to RSVP for some upcoming informational meetings with Christian Heritage. MyBridge Radio, it's Citizen Way. How sweet the sound. Thanks for joining Stan and me this morning. We are talking about foster care on the Morning Conversation today. This year alone, Christian Heritage has had to turn away nearly 1,000 children that they couldn't find a home for. The need is great for Christian families to open their homes to foster children. Now, here to talk with us about her experience with foster care is our guest, Marilee Bradley from Lincoln.
So, Marilee, I know that you and Brian, in the midst of just having a heart for kids and wanting to have a house full of them, which you have, you guys really see this as a ministry. So talk about that a little bit. What does it mean to have a ministry mindset to foster care?
Mm-hmm. Well, I am a stay-at-home mom, so my circle is kind of small. The amount I can impact the world kind of feels tiny when I'm here with a lot of little people. But foster care for us has really changed that we are able to not just love these little people that come into our home, but to love their families, to love the caseworkers, to be positively involved with judges and lawyers. Mm. And we do all that in the name of Jesus. Mm. And we feel like that is our ministry element of this, is that we want to do it well. We want to be good advocates. We want to be respectful and team players. You know, all the ways that we want to serve Jesus, we get to do through foster care.
It's interesting as you talk about that, Marilee, because I know from conversations I've had with people over the years and thinking about ministry and specifically about evangelism, that one of the biggest hindrances to Christ followers in our state being light and salt is that they're isolated. Mm-hmm. We stay in our little Christian groups so often. And, when you think about foster care, as soon as you enter into foster care, I mean, it puts you in contact with a number of different people, and it wouldn't be unusual for a number of those relationships to be with someone who doesn't know Jesus. But now you're in a pretty intimate relationship with them as you all are, as a team, trying to take care of the child that you've been entrusted to.
Absolutely. And I think because we have a unique understanding of forgiveness and redemption, we're able to love these biological families in a unique way. I think they may not have had someone in their lives before that believes they can change, but we really do, because we've seen huge changes in our own hearts and our own lives. I think that gives us a unique perspective to be able to do ministry with them in a way that's compassionate and loving.
Marilee is one of Nebraska's great foster moms. If you know a foster mom who is doing a great job of caring for children, let us know at mybridgeradio.net. It really is a great way to say thanks on behalf of the children that she's caring for who can't always say it for themselves. Now, when you submit her story, we will automatically register her for a chance to win one of 35 tickets to Women of Faith. Again, share the story of a foster mom when you visit us at mybridgeradio.net. Lay Me Down, that is Rush of Fools on MyBridge Radio. Thanks for joining Stan and me today. And Marilee Bradley from Lincoln is joining us on the Morning Conversation. Marilee currently has a young foster daughter placed in her home.
So, Marilee, is there anyone who should not do foster care?
Tons of people. Yes, it is absolutely not for everyone, but everyone can do something. I think that's what we're really realizing more and more, is that it really is a community effort, and that Brian and I are blessed to be able to take in these kids, and we take on the hardships and the joys of that, but we really need, especially our church family, to come alongside us and serve with us.
Mm-hmm. So unpack that a little bit more, Marilee. What are some of those other ways outside of actually becoming a foster parent that people could get involved?
Yes. In our church family, I mean, we've been blessed that when we've taken new placements, we've had people bring meals over as though we had a new baby, you know, as though we had just birthed a child. And that's been hugely helpful as we really focus on the bonding aspect of it and getting doctor appointments rolling and figuring out a visitation schedule. To have that one thing taken care of is great. Along with, we had this last time people just show up with diapers and baby clothes because we had not had an infant girl before. And so there's lots of ways to kind of be a support in an informal way through your church body. And then there's much more formal ways that you can get involved in being an advocate for foster kids, like through the CASA program or volunteering with the foster care closet or any way that any agency that's meeting needs of foster kids in your community.
To find out more about becoming a foster parent, visit our webpage, mybridgeradio.net, and register for one of the upcoming informational meetings that will be hosted by Christian Heritage. Holly Starr and God Is on My Bridge Radio. Gordon and Stan with you this morning. Our guest today is Marilee Bradley from Lincoln. Marilee is a foster mom and an advocate for foster children and families.
Marilee, as I think about families across the state listening to My Bridge Radio this morning and throughout this month as we're talking about foster care, from where they are right now to becoming a foster family probably for many seems so daunting, you know, intimidating.
Right.
They think, I don't know if I could ever see myself there. Well, you know, getting there is just taking one step, you know,
yeah.
And then taking the next step and then taking the next step, you know, as God gives you confidence and freedom to do it after you've taken the step before. So what is, can you kind of give us a baby step or two as you think about a family that is just really on the front end of being aware of a whisper of God in their hearts regarding foster care?
Mm-hmm. For us, there was a lot of research involved. So I think that for me is kind of step one, was figuring out what does a foster family do. You know, and you've probably got a computer. You can figure that out. You know, you can do some reading. You can kind of figure out, is this something that we would be a good fit for? And then I think for a lot of us, the next baby step is contacting an agency. So for us, that means Christian Heritage, and I know they have an informational meeting coming up in September, and it was a great time to sit and listen, what is a foster parent, and ask those questions in a no-pressure environment, realizing if, when you take that next step, it doesn't obligate you to licensing, and then all of a sudden there's an 18-year-old in your house. It's not how it works, but
right.
Just taking that next little step. And I love what my husband Brian has said about it, that when you don't take the step, you've chosen to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't often think about it that way. We think, well, can we do this? Can we not do this? But when you don't investigate it, you are saying no to those kids. And you don't even realize it because you won't ever know about the needs if you don't put yourself in the position to hear about them, to be able to say yes.
You made a very important point there, which is anywhere along the way, you are in control.
Right.
So when you're just getting information, that's all you need to do. You don't have to go any further than that. But
right.
Even if you step into training, you can take training and that's all that, you know, you don't have to go any further than that. I mean, there's nowhere along the way that it gets pushed into auto and you got to take your hands off the wheel and you no longer have control.
Exactly.
So taking the next step is no risk, really.
Right, and there's even things like if you are able to complete training, then that may open your home up to being able to be a respite family, which means, you know, in a foster family, if they had to go out of town and couldn't take their foster child, then that child needs a place to go. So then you have the ability to say, you know what, we may not be able to commit to a child for 6 months or a year and a half, but could we do a weekend? We might be able to do a weekend. You know, there's very low commitment levels on some of these things, but, yeah, you have to take the next step.
Mandisa on My Bridge Radio with Overcomer. Thanks for joining Stan and me this morning. Today, nearly 3,500 kids are being cared for in foster homes across the state. Now, this presents a great opportunity for the body of Christ to be the hands and feet of Jesus in caring for the orphans among us.
Marilee, as we began our conversation today, we talked about the fact that you and your husband, Brian, do foster care and things that you've learned and how you got into it, but we really haven't talked about an experience that you've had.
Mm-hmm.
As we kind of wrap up our time together, I'd love for you to share kind of what you think about the foster children that have been in your home. Tell us a story of one of them and what kind of you learned from that experience.
We had had our license for a couple of years. We had our son, Josh, was about 3, and our son, Danny, was about 14 months, and we got a call that there was a baby girl that needed a place to go. And, of course, I said yes, because I always want to say yes, but I said, I've got to talk to Brian about this. So I called Brian, and he said, you are out of your mind. You know, we have this 14-month-old. We cannot also take this 5-month-old baby. And he said, you know, she's healthy, surely. 5-month-old baby, that's got to be easy to place. And I said, well, that's fine, but you're going to have to call him back and tell him no, because I already said I thought we could do this. So Brian got off the phone with me and called me back then about 10 minutes later, and he said, well, get out the pack and play. She's coming. And I said, what made the difference? And he told me that, you know, our understanding was there was no other place to go for her, that we were the best option. It was not that there were 10 different families all waiting to say yes. It was that she had an immediate need, and we were the last people they called. And for us, that's been such a blessing. Her life is such a blessing to us. We ended up adopting her after what we were told was going to be, you know, 6 weeks of her in our home, and it turned into a year and a half. And we're so thankful that we said yes. But I think of how many people that I know personally or people in my church body that if they had gotten that phone call, they would have said yes, too. If you heard that there was a 5-month-old baby girl that needed a family tonight, who would say no to that? You know, we want to be available, but if you don't have your license, you can't say yes. You don't know that those kids are out there and that they're in need of families.
Marilee, it's obvious that God has given you a heart for the orphans among us who are in foster care. Just so much appreciate the passion that you've been talking to us about this particular topic today, and just appreciate you taking the time to be with us again this morning, and just thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on. I will be praying for the people that listen, that God's going to be moving hearts in the direction He desires.